NXT Vengeance Day, which takes place this Sunday and streams live on Peacock. Joining us today is Senior Vice President of Talent Development Creative, Shawn Michaels. We'll begin with brief opening remarks from Shawn, and then we'll open up the call to questions. Shawn?
Hello. Just want to obviously, as always, thank you guys for joining us here. Obviously, looking forward to Vengeance Day, the Sunday, February 4th, at the F&M Bank Arena in Clarksville, Tennessee. The final PLE of NXT and the WWE of, right? No, this is before, yeah, before Mania. Yeah. So, anyway, just obviously, as always, just want to thank you guys for, helping us out with these. We've got what we think is a spectacular card. We've got the finals of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic in Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin going up against Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes. That one, obviously, looking forward to seeing the big six-person tag team match with the D'Angelo family with Adriana Rizzo versus OTM and Jada Parker. We have got the North American champion, Oba Femi, who is a dude obviously taking NXT by storm, defending against former North American champion Dragon Lee. We've also got the women's NXT champion, Lyra Valkyria, against Roxanne Perez. And then, of course, the big one that everybody's looking forward to, the NXT title match with champion Ilya Dragunov, defending against the man who was working double time, Trick Williams. And everybody excited for Trick and everything that he's been doing here in NXT. So look, Sunday's going to be a fantastic card for us. And obviously looking forward to hearing y'all's questions and comments about the show. So I guess we can get going if you'd like.
Thanks, Shawn. We're now opening it up to questions. We kindly ask that you limit to one question each, and we'll get through as many as we can in the time allotted. If you do have a question, please use the raise hand function within Zoom. Our first question comes from Sean Ross Sapp. Sean?
Hey, Sean. I know you're limited in some of the things you might be able to mention about the lawsuit and allegations, but in NXT, there's obviously some impressionable and possibly vulnerable talent that are there. Are there protections in place for those that feel that they may be taken advantage of or put in uncomfortable positions? And if not, is that something you'd like to see done better?
Yeah, well, look, I think you can always improve on that, but it's an incredibly sad situation. As everybody knows, I've very little, absolutely nothing to do, and gladly so, with the corporate stuff that goes on. We try to focus here in NXT on the young men and women that come through these doors. And we do, we try to, we do. I think we foster a safe and supportive atmosphere down here. I know that they reinstalled and upgraded, I think in 2022, some of those regulations and whatnot. But look, we're always conscious of that. And one thing that I do, it's incredibly important to support the talent and give them a safe working environment. I like to think we do that, absolutely. But look, we will always continue to try to be better about that. And I'm very glad to say that I think we do a really fantastic job down here. There's an uncomfortable lull in the situation. Is that everybody? Do we have another question or is it?
Thanks, Sean. Our next question comes from John Alba. John?
Trying. There we go. Sorry, was unable to unmute myself there. Thanks so much, as always, Sean, for taking the time to follow up on Sean's question there a little bit. Have you had any conversations with any of the talent or employees of NXT regarding the situation with Vince and how you guys are going to go about combating that going forward as far as promoting a positive working environment, especially as it pertains to women?
Well, so look, I have not, we obviously, everyone is aware of the situation and understands it. And like I said, it's an incredibly sad situation. Look, I can sit here and go like, it sucks. But we have always, again, and I've mentioned it to you all in the past, that, you know, we take that very, look, I take all of the youth that come through here incredibly serious, because this is, you know, it's a tough line of work, regardless of, you know, what's going on. Just leaving home and coming here and pursuing your dreams is a big thing that we take incredibly serious here. We understand young men and women that come through our doors, you know, are impressionable. So we absolutely, you know, certainly encourage the openness and again, telling everybody to please, again, tell us the truth, you know, and let us know how we can help. But that's something that, again, has been here for a long time, and we continue to do our best to improve on that, because it is. It's one of the most important things to me, is to be able to ask those questions, you know, you're afraid to, you know, to ask. And so we certainly empower them to do that. And give them the opportunity to do that. Right now, I feel like everybody really is. I feel like everybody, you know, and I know it, I don't know, I'm not really trying, I'm honestly not trying to spin it. You know, coming off a Royal Rumble weekend, and even going into Vengeance Day, I think the talent in the WWE and in NXT as a whole are extremely excited about the future. And look, I know we are as well. And we're looking, obviously, to capitalize that at Vengeance Day, but, you know, tough situation, like I said, but I got to tell you, from a talent standpoint, and even from our standpoint, we feel like, you know, the windows of heaven have opened up, and we're ready to, you know, to go forward.
Our next question comes from Stephanie Hypes. Stephanie?
Hello. Thank you, Sean, so much for doing this. Obviously, you know, as a woman, in the media, as a woman fan, we want nothing but the best for the women, obviously, in WWE, and I think you guys have done a great job of presenting them that way. Do you guys already have things in place to make sure they have a safe space to come to for you or someone in the back, if this was to come up again?
We absolutely have all those policies in place. And as I say, we upgraded them in 2022. I have no doubt. I know that they're going to be looking at continuing to improve those, but we absolutely do. We have, you know, numerous people that our medical team, you know, has outreach to go to outside of, you know, especially even outside of the performance center, because we do understand that I can look at a talent, and, you know, my head writer and our coaches, as they do, we can tell them, you know, to tell us the truth, or, you know, express to us what's going on. But as you know, again, they may not feel comfortable doing that. So yes, we also provide, you know, help outside of here as well, and have people that we can, you know, that we work with to again, get them in a, what we feel like is a complete objective environment, and not even associated with NXT or the WWE in that respect. Again, because we do, it's something, especially here, it, you know, again, we want everybody to be, again, focused on what it is they're doing, and not have any struggles going forward. So, you know, I like to think we really do a great job down here. And I think, you know, that's seen, you know, on a regular basis.
Our next question comes from Ella J. Ella?
Hi, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Obviously, with the event coming up, we saw the recent return of William Regal, which is very exciting for the NXT brand. I was wondering, though, this is the first time we've seen him on WWE programming in a long time, about 2 years, actually. So can we expect to see him more on NXT programming going forward?
Well, look, I do know that, look, he came down here, you know, recently to endorse our new GM, you know, Ava. And look, she's already wielding pretty good power here and doing a really good job. But look, as he had mentioned to Ava, that, you know, his phone is always open. He is there for her counsel in any way he can help. So, look, I you know as well as I do, here in NXT, when you have a staple and a foundational person like William Regal, you know, I mean, you gotta have more than just one shot with him here and there. So, look, I think everybody was extremely excited about his, you know, his brief cameo on NXT television. I have no doubt that we will have some other cameos by William Regal in the future as well.
Thanks, Sean. Our next question comes from Kimmy Sokol. Kimmy?
Hi, Sean.
Hello there.
So Ren Sinclair recently made her NXT debut in the number one guitarist battle royal, and she also had her first singles match against Lash Legend. How would you assess her performance so far in NXT?
Well, look, I would say, again, Ren has done fantastic because she just kind of came through the doors and she got thrown into the deep end right away. So look, I'm very proud of her already just because she really did. It was a situation to where she had just joined us. And I, honestly, I have barely even gotten to know her. She's been off and running so quickly. But, you know, she came in with, I think, you know, a little bit of knowledge. I don't think she was prepared for what she was getting thrown into, but I think she's done a great job of adapting, which bodes well for her going forward. And so, yes, I think she's made an impactful, you know, debut here. I think she's done really well. She's had a challenging, situation put forth before, and she stood up to it. So yeah, no, we're very proud of her. Again, very quick progression here in NXT. And I hope she's excited about it because again, it's one of those things where we weren't expecting it. So I know she wasn't expecting it, you know, to be going this soon. So we're really proud of her. And I think she's, you know, it's one of those things, that's what we do here, right? This is developmental. I mean, and this is something that, you know, Ren Sinclair is sort of the epitome of that. I think she was with us for maybe 2 weeks and boom, she was on live television and you're going to watch her grow from this point going forward. I think it's going to be a fun ride and a fun journey, not just for her, but for the people watching as well.
Our next question comes from Matthew Aguilar. Matthew?
Hi, Sean. How are you? Thank you so much for doing this.
I'm very good.
You know, NXT had a big presence at the Royal Rumble with Roxanne and Mello and Braun and Tiffany, all, I feel like, getting big moments and showing out, especially Braun and Gunther and that whole moment. What did you think of those moments in the Rumble for them and what it does for them spotlighting them moving forward in their careers?
Well, look, obviously huge for them and huge for NXT. As always, I have a tendency to look at, again, I guess as I was telling them the other day, because again, after that, you know, I had to pull them in Monday and look, I'm so proud of all of them. You know, Braun and Mello and Tiffany are sort of, again, sort of the foundational people that we built this around from the, you know, from the, certainly my beginning. And it's been just a heck of a journey with them. And I now know, I think, how Hunter feels all the time watching, a locker room full of his NXT guys just doing such a fantastic job out there. You really do. You're so proud of them. And, to your point, I think everybody had really fantastic moments. It was fun and enjoyable for them. It was everything you wanted it to be and everything I think they hoped it would be. And that's always, you know, the best. And look, I'll never get tired of, you know, having Mello and Braun look at me from across the room and just come walking up and like, you know, come, you know, and hugging them after doing such a fantastic job. It's the reason, I don't know, it's the reason that I do this. When you get to watch them and the look on their face, it really is incredibly rewarding. And I know it does. It's, you know, it's sentimental and wishy-washy and oh, lovey-dovey and all of that. And not nearly as cool, I guess, as I guess it should be. But for those of us going through it with them, it really is fantastic. And again, they've earned it. They deserve it. Tiffany was out there, again, looking like she belonged, just doing a spectacular job with, again, you know, the big kahunas of the WWE women's division and out there and hanging tough. So incredibly proud of everybody. And you know, honestly, a really big, big day and a big spotlight for NXT.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's an awesome background, too, by the way. It's a great collection. It really is. That's fantastic.
Our next question comes from Graham Romina. Graham?
Hey, Sean, thanks for taking the time. Obviously, with the show coming up on Saturday, female representation on the card, we see female representation on the week, on the show every single week with the women's division. Can you just talk a little bit about the female representation behind the scenes as well as it pertains to like creative, the female coaches and stuff like that? I know Sarah Mato was there at one point, probably still is. Just talking about that and as it kind of pertains to the events from last week, how important that is and who those people might be.
Well, look, the greatest thing is, as I've mentioned before, like we don't have to try hard to give our women the spotlight and give them a lot of focus on the show because we just have so many incredible athletes coming in here and so many women that are just, I don't know, getting this down and learning this. And I guess, you know, I guess I'm always, I guess, because it's people ask about Sarah and the coaches, and I suppose because Sarah's just so low key, she's here all the time. The only part, you know, and she's at rehearsals for television. The only part she doesn't do is the actual putting the headset and calling the match at 8 o'clock at night because it's time to put the baby to bed. You know, Sarah is still here doing her magic as she's always done, because it's just, again, I will go on record as saying that I truly believe that, I don't know, the women in the WWE and, you know, obviously, you know, biased from my standpoint, and NXT are the best in the world. And so much of that is due to Sarah Amato and the work that she does with them. And so she's just somebody, again, that's why we say she's the best kept secret, I think, in this business, because Sarah just quietly goes about her thing and asks for no glory and continues to pay it forward. So I'll always be incredibly proud of what she does here in NXT. And obviously, yeah, I'm proud of what we do weekly representing our women. But again, that's all due to them. They earn it. And they just, look, they just continue to just be amazing and get such a hold of this stuff and also get a hold of their characters. I think all these young ladies are having a great time, which I think speaks to the environment here in NXT. And again, we're obviously looking forward to continuing to highlight our ladies as we go forward, because again, until, you know, look, as I always say, like the dudes better, you know, the dudes better look out, because, you know, our ladies just keep, you know, bringing it week after week. So, and we enjoy giving them that opportunity each and every week as we do.
Our next question comes from Bill Pritchard. Bill?
Hey, Sean, how are you?
Well.
So I wanted to follow up on one of the comments you made earlier about upgrading the policies, the conduct policies in 2022. I was wondering if you could maybe highlight what some of those changes were compared to the old policies, and do you anticipate upgrading them again in light of the allegations and lawsuit against Vince McMahon?
So look, I will be forthcoming and honest with you. I could not sit there and give you, I could corporately memorize, I guess, you know, and if you would like, I will find it and read it off to you. But
I might be mad at me.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, they were, you know, upgraded in 2022. The specifics of that, I will honestly tell you that I don't know and couldn't rattle them off for you if I tried. I can tell you that, again, you know, I have a daughter that comes here every week, you know, and it's, I will do anything I can to take care of the men and women that come through these doors. I want this to be an environment where they can feel comfortable and just allow them to focus on the job and the dream that they've entrusted us of trying to provide for them. When everything's said and done, that's what we are going to do here. I will, you know, do anything again in my power to make sure that happens. I won't lie, I could care less what anybody puts down on a piece of paper, and not to imply that I don't care about it. It's just, I feel like if it's done genuinely and sincerely, looking out for our talent, nothing is more important than that. And as long as everybody in this building understands that, And if they don't, you know what I mean? The consequences are what they are. They're going to be gone. But again, from my standpoint, I want all of our talent treated with respect that they deserve and that they've earned.
Thanks for your time.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from Adam Silverstein. Adam.
Hey, Sean, sorry about that. A little technical glitch there. Following up on that question about Braun, Mello, and Tiffany, as you mentioned, they've largely been the foundational pieces of NXT, with Roxanne Perez and Trick Williams also getting featured a lot recently and having huge roles on TV. Is it fair to say that we might be seeing a sea change of sorts over the next couple of months from that top of the roster perspective in NXT? Or is that something that might perhaps get delayed until that CW deal goes into effect in late 2024?
Well, look, I think as you guys know, it's sort of always, a circulatory type of aspect here. Look, I will say this, that those things kind of depend on call-ups and you know, things of that nature. I will say this, I think the future is bright for all of them. We are always trying to sort of integrate new and younger talent as they come up. I feel like we do a really good job of highlighting as many casts and characters and performers as we can. I want to say that, I don't know if it was this last week's show or the week before, but someone telling me we've got 54 people on television this week. And again, in a 2-hour show, we got airtime for 54 different talent. So I think NXT does a great job of doing that. But yes, as you say, we're always going to have to be cognizant of these talent that it sort of reached the top here. And then, the main roster begins showing interest and things of that nature. As you pointed out, I always think a role in the Rumble is certainly sort of a nod towards from the main roster, looking at like, okay, these are the ones we're sort of got our eye on. With WrestleMania around the corner, we're always cognizant of the call-ups and stuff like that afterwards. None of those things right now do I have in stone. So that's where it's always kind of challenging as you move forward, doing your best to kind of balance that from a television standpoint. But yeah, just, think to answer your question in a nutshell, that's again, kind of the joy and the challenge here in NXT is doing your best to try to funnel these, all of these different talent as best you can. Always, understanding that, our job here is to lose talent. Again, that's a dynamic here that makes NXT probably different than any other, brand out there is, as you come to the top of NXT, you are expected to move on. So cognizant of that, it's that time frame where we're looking at that. So yes, as you see new talent come in, that is certainly the mindset behind that.
Thanks, Sean.
Yes, sir.
Our next question comes from Steve Hall. Steve?
You. Hey, Sean. Thanks for taking time. I'm pumped for this weekend. I got my son here, all right? I got one of my kids. Does that satisfy you?
No, it's always okay.
I'm in my living room. Not a good background. But though this past weekend at Royal Rumble, Jordynne Grace from TNA made an impact, pun intended, on the match. Do you think that more TNA talent could come into NXT and have possibly a Worlds Collide event?
Well, look, I will say this, and it's one of those things where the friendship with Hunter and I sort of gets, gets tough to balance, because I've always sort of seen her from afar, and I've always wondered, she'd be interested, coming to NXT or coming to the WWE, but never, my fault for never reaching out, because I assume if you're with another company, that's not allowed, right? So, but it was great to see that door possibly opened and be able to, think about. So, to answer your question, I think some things that probably we were never even allowed to consider or look at in the past, is at least something that we can begin to look at and think about in the future. I for one, am very excited about that. Again, but those are, once again, those are things, you know, on a corporate level that I don't, you know, get to say so in, but very excited about that possibility, to your point, just again, to be able to look, you're looking, there's, you know, there's a number of different talent out there in different places at TNA, in Japan and AAA, things of that nature, to where, gosh, it'd be great to get some of those really experienced people to come in here and swing by NXT for a little bit. But again, above my pay grade to answer, but I'll tell you this much, I'm really interested in the possibilities. And certainly it looks like, again, every time I get mad at Hunter, I go like, oh, it's okay for you, but it's not okay for us. So hopefully that's not a real corporate angle, really, but I try to use that as often as I can to see if I can get my way down here. But so it's certainly something I'm going to ask about in the not too distant future. You bet.
Our next question comes from Alistair McGeorge. Alistair?
Hi, Sean. How's it going?
Going well.
Good, good. I wanted to mention CM Punk. I know you've had him down there sort of very recently. And I was just wondering, once the dust has kind of settled with the injury he's now going through, during his recovery, would you be interested in having him down there in a slightly more prominent role, whether it's learning the ropes at the PC, helping coach there, or even helping with the creative side in NXT?
Well, look, he's been down here quite a bit. He's talked about, again, during his PT, doing it down here and coming by. As he and I have, we've now had the opportunity to speak quite a bit lately, which has been fantastic. He knows these doors are always open to him. I understand, again, he's still got a career, again, that he wants to pursue. And sort of, you know, I would imagine, like all of us, we sort of get into that time when we feel like, well, we'd love to end it on our terms, and he's the one that is going to determine that. But yeah, he is, as we've said, he's welcome here anytime. I think he will take us up on that. That is of no knowledge, is my personal opinion. I think I know the talent enjoy having him here. It's a different perspective than what they get here on a weekly basis. I think that's healthy. And the more times you can have people coming in and maybe giving them a different, I don't know, thought process or insight on something. I don't know. I don't ever fear that kind of stuff. So looking forward to, you know, again, the possibility of talking about that. And then, you know, as far as when it comes to roles and stuff like that, I'd imagine from his standpoint, again, pure speculation, on my side, he wants to probably, you know, right now is his focus is getting healthy, then getting back in the ring, and maybe way, way back in there what he wants to do after that. But he knows that, you know, we're just a phone call away or a text away, and he's got my number. So obviously welcome here anytime.
Our next question comes from Phil Strum. Phil?
Thanks for doing this, Sean. I really enjoyed NXT over the last little bit. A very impressive group, both the talent and the staff. I'm wondering, you've been in WWE for probably roughly 30 years on and off now. Just if you could speak a little bit to the ways that the culture has changed over that period of time, both in WWE and also within wrestling training too, because you trained in a certain way and then you also had a school and now you're also an executive with NXT and the Performance Center now too. So just kind of want to know any measurable changes that you see both in the culture and then also in training. Thank you.
Thank you. Look, in a nutshell, considerable change, which is good, as it should have been, and as it should be. I don't know, again, to go back, as I always tell people, you know, it was the old school, you know, you don't talk, you don't show weakness, you don't talk about struggle. I think it was not beneficial to the growth of young men and women that come through it. And that's completely opposite now. transparency and openness. And again, as I said it here before, I don't care if it makes you think they're softer. You know, I don't care. I want them to enjoy their experience with us. Bottom line, I cannot control the world. The world is a rough place, but here in our world, I want you to be comfortable. I want you to feel safe. I want you to feel secure. I want to do my best. And all of us in here in NXT want to do our best to help foster that environment and help you achieve your goals. Look, do everything we can to prepare you for, I guess, you know, the world, but again, from a NXT and also from a WWE standpoint as a whole. We'd like not just the shows and everything else to be fantastic and exciting. We'd like the environment to be fantastic and exciting. And I don't know, it isn't that hard to do. You know what I mean? It's to treat each other with, you know, what love and respect, you know, and just do our jobs well. So I prefer the direction that we're heading, and I'm all aboard, and I will do absolutely everything I can to continue to foster that environment and that progress.
Our next question comes from Nick Hausman. Nick?
Hi, Sean. Thank you very much for taking the time today.
Yeah, Nick.
There were allegations made by Brutus Beefcake 2 years ago about you and Marty Jannetty and your behavior when you were younger men on the road with women. And, you know, the H-bombs we heard about in Dark Side of the Ring were mentioned. I just wanted to give you a chance to address the allegations and let us know what you think.
Sure. Look, I will say this, as I've never, you know, shied away from the stupid stuff I did in the past. If you go back and ask Bruce Beefcake, he'll tell you, one, never seen any of that actually happen. Again, wrestling stories. He's also retracted it after saying it. I can say this. I've had a lot of struggles in my life. And I don't know how to say this without it sounding, I don't know, shameful. But being with a lady was not something Shawn Michaels had a difficult time doing. I've never been in a situation where it was not consensual or any way, shape, or form. I've never taken advantage of someone in that respect. Those things are done for two reasons, and I've had a lot of counseling in my lifetime. And that, you know, and the reason you do that stuff is because you dislike women or you have power issues. Shawn Michaels did not have those. He had insecurity issues, and he had problems feeling like he wasn't enough. That's why you go to drugs and downers. The other stuff is built on power and disrespect for women, which is something I've never had. So any accusations against me as far as non-consensual time with a woman simply is not true. And that's why they've never come up in anything other than, and I don't mean it to be mean to you guys, but it's never come up in anything other than wrestling stories. And, you know, I don't know what to say. Back in the day, it was dirt sheets. And those things start from guys spinning a lot of stories that were not true. I hear you saying thank you, but it wasn't on. So my pleasure, Nick.
Our next question comes from Rick Cuccino. Rick?
Yeah, hey, Sean. Appreciate you taking the time here today. I wanted to go back to what you said about, you know, Carmelo and Braun and Tiffany kind of being these staples of your time there. We've all seen recent reporting. We've seen what's been playing out on TV. Braun Breaker's already said, hey, look, my home now is the main roster. And the more and more that these people get time on the main roster, it seems like their graduation day is inevitable at this point and maybe coming sooner rather than later. Trying to replace all three of those key staple figures at the same time has to create some unique challenges from, you know, people graduating prior before. You know, what's the dialogue like between yourself and Triple H, you know, giving you enough heads up to make sure you can do the best moves creatively, both in the short term and in the long term?
Yeah, well, look, as you've seen, that is, I will say, again, it's that one of the more challenging things about this job is dealing that. But again, with the mindset of our job is to lose talent. What makes it a lot easier now again, and that's the thing, many things different than the past, is that there's, you know, there's synergy between us. Again, it's not a we snatch them and they're gone forever. You know, we're able to go back and forth. It's also, it, you know, it can be, doesn't have to be an abrupt call up and a graduation day and you never come back and, you know, go to high school. You know what I mean? This is something where we can still go back and forth and make it a little bit more of a fluid call up situation. So look, I think that's one of the biggest ways that it makes it a little easier for us. But look, it's still the challenge. And I'll say, look, still one of the, you know, again, the challenging parts of this job, as you say, is just taking people that were so, you know, like you said, we've built it, you know, around them and just slowly transitioning that, you know, to other people. But that's what we're in the process of doing. But the easiest thing, again, is the dialogue that we do have. Again, simply putting it that way, dialogue, which, you know, hasn't always been there in the past. And now it is. So again, tons easier than before. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean. Our next question comes from Najir Chambers.
Hello, Najir Chambers from Big O Belt Media. I'm piggybacking right off of that question. As you talk about the dialogue, what were some of the issues that you and Triple H have identified in terms of that transition? Yes, we've seen the recent success of folks like Dragon Lee and the Creed brothers and Carmelo, but in the past, this has sort of been disastrous and almost completely detrimental to folks' careers because the main roster crowd and audience didn't take the same light to them that the NXT crowd did. So what were some of those little pointers and things that you all identified to kind of iron out that transition?
Well, I think one, you know, you'll see that a lot of people sort of, I guess I'll say, stay who they are from NXT to, you know, going to the main roster. They don't go through this abrupt sort of character change. So there's, you know, there's continuity there that wasn't there. There's an acknowledgement, just that in and of itself, there's an acknowledgement of NXT, which at one time was not there in the past. Again, even an acknowledgement of stories. So those are different aspects, you know, that also, and look, every now and then we get to sort of continue or drop a couple, hints of stories that are still going on. You know, I mean, you might see just another NXT person come up to Raw with that NXT person, sort of finish their story there and then come back to us and that main roster person stays. So look, those are things, I'll say this, we now just sort of use common sense. We don't want to insult you, the wrestling fans, and the WWE universe, as we say, to where they all of a sudden just get called up and there's no acknowledgement. There's a character change. We act like it never happened. Those are just things we don't do now. And it's, you know, it's staggering sometimes, you know, that it's, you know, it isn't brain surgery. We can do that and not have any problem with. So it really is. It's, and it's also, I'll say this, it isn't a, you know, again, you know, sorry, deal with it. You know what I mean? That's just, those are just things that, you know, that we, you know, we don't have now. Again, unless a dire, I don't know, an emergency situation were to happen or something like that. But, you know, for the most part, like I said, we try to make it a smooth transition. We try to make it make sense. And again, it's proven to me, to, you know, and to both of us, I think, and to you guys as well, that it's working far more fluidly than it was.
And our final question comes from James Varsalone. James.
Okay, thank you. Really looking forward to the Dusty Tag Classic, both teams in the finals. I think there's interesting stories with both teams. But I got to talk about, you know, last week there were so many positives and there was the one negative, and social media is such a big thing nowadays. And I'm just curious, Sean, you, Sarah, Matt, the team, are you like taking the NXT kids, the NXT superstars, and having talks with them, no matter what it is about or what they're posting and how they're posting, since they're new, some of them are new to all this?
Sure. Look, I always tell talent here that I think the social media aspect of what goes on in the industry is probably one of the more challenging things for, you know, their lives and their careers at this point. It's something that even came up yesterday, and someone said to me, well, everyone thinks this and everyone thinks that. And I was curious, who is everyone? And everyone now is always the social aspect. And for instance, I think NXT trended number three on Tuesday night. And trending number three, as I looked into it, about 25,000 people. Again, not bad, but not everybody. We did 648, you know, not the greatest, but not bad. 25,000 of the 648, that's not everybody. So I don't know how everybody felt about that. You know, so again, I think that's one of the things that I feel like is challenging for our young superstars coming up and just trying to help them to balance that. And all you can do, again, also from a social media standpoint, I think to tell them to be careful. And I look, we certainly have, our media and all of our other, you know, corporate folks that come down and help them with those things. They do their best to help them in that respect as well. But I will say, look, I think it is. I think that's one of the more challenging aspects for them going forward. For us in our day, again, it was, again, I don't know any other way to say it. There are numerous stories. There are things, again, I can take accountability for the things I did in the past. I'm just not going to do and take accountability for the ones I didn't do. And there are numerous ones out there that simply did not happen. I've stood next to people where we watched the same thing happen and listened to that guy tell a totally different story. So again, that's, and social media is sort of the same way in that respect. Again, you know, not everyone is like that. But that's in our world now, we sort of qualify that social media world as everyone. And the best thing that we can do, again, is help our superstars balance that and I don't know, and do our best, again, not to let that affect them too negatively, I guess, going forward. And that goes back to just trying to foster a positive atmosphere around here, which is what we try to do. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Sean, and thank you all for joining. We'll end with final comments from Sean.
Yeah, again, thank you guys. I will say this. You guys, this is the, I don't know, I guess for me, I won't lie, it's the toughest one I've ever done. I'll say this. I understand and appreciate y'all doing your job, and you have to do that. I won't lie to you. It is, I don't know. You know, I'm not corporately trained, guys. I never have been. I hope I was at least clear and did as well as I could on that. I'll be honest, I won't lie to you. I want us to get back to the fun ones and enjoying this business. That's why I do it. But I appreciate you guys. You got to do your job, and I'm not, you know, it's not fair to you to get mad, you know, for me to get mad at you about that. So again, so I appreciate you guys once again. I hope, you know, after this, I hope we can talk about Vengeance Day. Hope we can focus on, you know, the future of NXT and incredibly talented young men and women that are coming up in this industry. I think there are tremendous times ahead if everyone will let us. Again, it's not to say that, you know, it wasn't rough, but man, the future is so bright. There's so much talent, and I know people that want to bring the best in what we do to the, you know, the WWE universe. So I hope we're able to, you know, put the past behind us. And again, not discounting any of the pain that has gone on with that. But for us, you know, as the WWE, to move forward, I don't know, again, in just a new era and embrace it and make the most of it and make it be everything you all want it to be. We're here to try to do that and look forward to the challenge. So anyway, thank you guys very much. You know, guess I'll end with, you know, Vengeance Days, Sunday, February 4th, you know, streaming on Peacock. Hope everybody will tune in, and thank you guys very much. And ladies as well.
Thank you all again. A replay of today's call will be available shortly. You may now disconnect.